This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
7:14 now. We got some rain coming in tonight in advance of another cold front. Could bring freezing temperatures to the North Shore. Maybe close to freezing South Shore, but nothing anybody needs to worry about. And then for the parades, could be chilly on Friday night and cool on Friday, Saturday and Sunday, and maybe a chance for showers. It's iffy. They'll have to watch the timing on that. Dr. Fred Lopez joins us now, professor of medicine in the section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. How you doing, Dr. Fred?
Good morning, Tommy.
Let's talk about Pope Francis and what's going on with him, because he's pretty sick, is he not?
You know, I only know what the reports are saying, and it looks like he's now in the hospital. He's been in the hospital for several days, initially admitted with bronchitis, which he's had prior to his hospitalization, and on Monday, a big announcement that he seems to be suffering from a complicated clinical issue secondary to a polymicrobial lung infection, meaning that he has a couple of organisms that have been identified in his lungs causing his infection. And, you know, now that they know what those organisms are, hopefully they can target the treatment appropriately. Is it a combination of a virus and a bacteria or a couple of bacteria? We don't know. That information hasn't been released. But this does sound a little more complicated than just a simple acute bronchitis. And it sounds like he's going to be hospitalized and put at rest from his activities, at least for the foreseeable future, while they try to treat this complicated infection.
Yeah, I shouldn't have asked you or said, prefaced it by saying he's pretty sick, because you haven't examined him. You don't know. But maybe we can talk about that polymicrobial respiratory tract infection, because I'm confused. Is it bacteria or is it viral? And talk about the treatment of either, or fungi or parasites.
Yeah. You know, all of the above. When you hear polymicrobial, it just means a mixture of organisms. And organisms can be viral, they can be fungal, they can be bacterial, they can be parasitic, all of the types you just mentioned. Bronchitis, which is what apparently he initially had before being hospitalized, is typically caused by viruses. The viruses might even include the flu virus, other types of viruses like parainfluenza virus, cold viruses, respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, which we've been talking about. All of these viruses can cause bronchitis. And typically, if it's a virus that we can't treat, which usually is the flu primarily that we can target our therapy, or COVID-19, for example, where we also have targeted therapy, it's usually supportive care and the infection resolves. But once it leaves the lining of the tubes that lead into the lungs can get complicated infections called pneumonia. And that's, I'm sure, of concern to the everyone who hears about complications of bronchitis is, has there now been a superimposed pneumonia on top of this? In which case, if they've identified the organisms, which again, I suspect might be a virus and a bacteria, hard to know that, but that's oftentimes the case, then they can target the therapy against those bacteria and hopefully he'll begin to resolve this infection. But without exactly knowing what the organisms are, I can only speculate that bronchitis usually caused by a virus, and perhaps now what we're seeing is a complication of a viral infection that maybe has led to a pneumonia.
Let's take a step back, and I know this is kind of complicated stuff, but you can vaccinate against a virus, but you can't treat a virus other than with therapeutics. And when it comes to bacteria, you can't vaccinate against bacteria, but you can treat it with antibiotics. Tell me if I said anything true there or not.
Well, there's truth in part to the statements that you made. We do have vaccinations that you and I talk about frequently against some of the viruses, not all of them, but against some of them. So what are those? We have vaccinations against influenza. We have vaccinations against COVID-19. We have vaccinations against respiratory syncytial virus. So we do have viruses that can prevent and moderate infection due to these viral organisms. And then we do have some vaccinations against bacteria. So the pneumonia shot that we talk about, that is a vaccine against a bacteria called Streptococcus pneumonia or pneumococcus, a common bacterial cause of pneumonia. And that is recommended for people 50 years of age or older to receive that pneumococcal vaccine. So we do have vaccinations against both viral pathogens and bacterial organisms. But sometimes the immune system can't handle the colonization of the airways and the lungs with these viruses and bacteria, and it can lead to infection and complications such as the one perhaps we're hearing is involving the Pope.
So an antibiotic will work against the virus or it will not?
No. Again, the difference being that viruses have therapies that we can use against them. Again, the flu is the virus that we typically talk about because we do have treatments that can target the flu virus, things like Tamiflu, for example. That is a flu therapeutic that is effective against that organism. Is not effective against bacterial organisms because that's an antiviral. Antibiotics, on the other hand, are not effective against viruses, but they are effective against bacteria. So when we talk about antibiotics like penicillins, for example, and cephalosporins, these are the types of antibiotics that can treat bacterial pathogens that might cause respiratory tract infections. So if an individual has both a viral and a bacterial infection, and the viral infection is due to the flu, and the bacterial infection is due to a bacteria like pneumococcus, we might be using two different drugs to treat that polymicrobial infection.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. We're talking about Pope Francis, who is in the hospital, not feeling well, with a polymicrobial, I think I'm pronouncing it right, did I say it right? Doctor?
Polymicrobial
infection. We'll pick it up. We come back. 721 traffic now, WWL. 726, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Back with our friend, Dr. Fred Lopez, professor of medicine in the section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. Talking about Pope Francis, he's, from what they say, pretty sick with a polymicrobial respiratory tract infection. Doctor, how common is something like this or uncommon?
Well, bronchitis, which is what he initially had, again, most commonly caused by viruses, is common. It occurs in many, many people and is usually a self-limited infection, usually, that resolves in a few weeks. Here, though, we have a complication of bronchitis, again, speculating that perhaps it's led from the airways into the lungs, maybe complicated by pneumonia, for example. And that's not as common, but it is seen, and just creates a challenge in terms of recognizing what the pneumonia might be due to. Is it just due to the virus? Is it due to the virus plus a superimposed bacterial infection, which is sometimes the case? That's where the multiple organisms come into play, creating a polymicrobial infection. And we do have testing that can identify viruses and bacteria and fungi and parasites, all of those organisms you mentioned earlier. And if you can identify those organisms, hopefully there's good targeted therapy against those organisms in order to help individuals resolve these complicated polymicrobial infections.
I'm sure he's going to get the best of care. He's 88 years old. I think he's lost part of a lung due to pneumonia before, I'm reading here. And I know I had pneumonia as a kid, and my mom used to always tell me that I had to be careful because once you have it, it's easier to get. Is there any truth to that? And what about Pope Francis and having lost part of a lung and having had pneumonia before? Does it make him more susceptible to anything?
Well, you know, he's more susceptible to complications of bronchitis and pneumonia solely because of his age. We know that people who are older, their immune systems aren't as robust, and they're more likely to experience complications from these infections. This is, by report, again, at least the fourth time he's been hospitalized since he was elected Pope in 2013. And at least one of those hospitalizations was for bronchitis. Here we have, again, bronchitis causing a hospitalization. And then you're right to mention the fact that he underwent lung surgery, removing a piece of the lung, apparently, in his youth for a respiratory infection. I don't know any of the details except to say that that is documented in multiple reports. And you can live without a piece of a lung. You can live without a whole half a lung being removed. The issue is if he's had repeated infections, it can leave a damaged lung, and a damaged lung is one that is more susceptible to infection as well. So his age and perhaps repeated infections make him more susceptible to additional infections, and that's what we're seeing here. And again, I have to emphasize that it's the very young and the very old who are most likely to suffer complications from respiratory tract infections.
Thank you, Doctor. I appreciate the insight. I know you haven't seen him or treated him, but just a lot of people are concerned, so we thought we'd speak with you. Fred Lopez, Professor of Medicine, Section of Infectious Diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. Dr. Fred Lopez. We come back, we're going to talk about National Engineers Week. Right now, though, time for WWL First News.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
7:14 now. We got some rain coming in tonight in advance of another cold front. Could bring freezing temperatures to the North Shore. Maybe close to freezing South Shore, but nothing anybody needs to worry about. And then for the parades, could be chilly on Friday night and cool on Friday, Saturday and Sunday, and maybe a chance for showers. It's iffy. They'll have to watch the timing on that. Dr. Fred Lopez joins us now, Professor of Medicine in the Section of Infectious Diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. How you doing, Dr. Fred?
Good morning, Tommy.
let's talk about Pope Francis and what's going on with him, because he's pretty sick, is he not?
You know, I only know what the reports are saying, and it looks like he's now in the hospital. He's been in the hospital for several days, initially admitted with bronchitis, which he's had prior to his hospitalization. And on Monday, a big announcement that he seems to be suffering from a complicated clinical issue secondary to a polymicrobial lung infection, meaning that he has a couple of organisms that have been identified in his lungs causing his infection. And, you know, now that they know what those organisms are, hopefully they can target the treatment appropriately. Is it a combination of a virus and a bacteria or a couple of bacteria? We don't know. That information hasn't been released. But this does sound a little more complicated than just a simple acute bronchitis. And it sounds like he's going to be hospitalized and put at rest from his activities, at least for the foreseeable future, while they try to treat this complicated infection.
Yeah, I shouldn't have asked you or said, prefaced it by saying he's pretty sick, because you haven't examined him. You don't know. But maybe we can talk about that polymicrobial respiratory tract infection, because I'm confused. Is it bacteria or is it viral? And talk about the treatment of either, or fungi or parasites.
Yeah, you know, all of the above. When you hear polymicrobial, it just means a mixture of organisms. And organisms can be viral, they can be fungal, they can be bacterial, they can be parasitic, all of the types you just mentioned. Bronchitis, which is what apparently he initially had before being hospitalized, is typically caused by viruses. The viruses might even include the flu virus, other types of viruses like parainfluenza virus, cold viruses, respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, which we've been talking about. All of these viruses can cause bronchitis. And typically, if it's a virus that we can't treat, which usually is the flu primarily that we can target our therapy, or COVID-19, for example, where we also have targeted therapy, it's usually supportive care and the infection resolves. But once it leaves the lining of the tubes that lead into the lungs can get complicated infections called pneumonia. And that's, I'm sure, of concern to the everyone who hears about complications of bronchitis. Is, has there now been a superimposed pneumonia on top of this? In which case, if they've identified the organisms, which again I suspect might be a virus and a bacteria, hard to know that, but that's oftentimes the case, then they can target the therapy against those bacteria, and hopefully he'll begin to resolve this infection. But without exactly knowing what the organisms are, I can only speculate that bronchitis usually caused by a virus, and perhaps now what we're seeing is a complication of a viral infection that maybe has led to a pneumonia.
Let's take a step back, and I know this is kind of complicated stuff, but you can vaccinate against a virus, but you can't treat a virus other than with therapeutics. And when it comes to bacteria, you can't vaccinate against bacteria, but you can treat it with antibiotics. Tell me if I said anything true there or not.
Well, there's truth in part to the statements that you made. We do have vaccinations that you and I talk about frequently against some of the viruses, not all of them, but against some of them. So what are those? We have vaccinations against influenza. We have vaccinations against COVID-19. We have vaccinations against respiratory syncytial virus. So we do have viruses that can prevent and moderate infection due to these viral organisms. And then we do have some vaccinations against bacteria. So the pneumonia shot that we talk about, that is a vaccine against a bacteria called Streptococcus pneumonia, or pneumococcus, a common bacterial cause of pneumonia. And that is recommended for people 50 years of age or older to receive that pneumococcal vaccine. So we do have vaccinations against both viral pathogens and bacterial organisms. But sometimes the immune system can't handle the colonization of the airways and the lungs with these viruses and bacteria, and it can lead to infection and complications such as the one perhaps we're hearing is involving the Pope.
So antibiotic will work against the virus or it will not?
No. Again, the difference being that viruses have therapies that we can use against them. Again, the flu is the virus that we typically talk about because we do have treatments that can target the flu virus, things like Tamiflu, for example. That is a flu therapeutic that is effective against that organism. Is not effective against bacterial organisms because that's an antiviral. Antibiotics, on the other hand, are not effective against viruses, but they are effective against bacteria. So when we talk about antibiotics like penicillins, for example, and cephalosporins, these are the types of antibiotics that can treat bacterial pathogens that might cause respiratory tract infections. So if an individual has both a viral and a bacterial infection, and the viral infection is due to the flu, and the bacterial infection is due to a bacteria like pneumococcus, we might be using two different drugs to treat that polymicrobial infection.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. We're talking about Pope Francis, who is in the hospital, not feeling well, with a polymicrobial, I think I'm pronouncing it right, did I say it right? Doctor?
Polymicrobial, yes.
Polymicrobial infection. We'll pick it up. We come back. 721 traffic now, WWL. 726, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Back with our friend, Dr. Fred Lopez, professor of medicine in the section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. Talking about Pope Francis, he's, from what they say, pretty sick with a polymicrobial respiratory tract infection. Doctor, how common is something like this or uncommon?
Well, bronchitis, which is what he initially had, again, most commonly caused by viruses, is common. It occurs in many, many people and is usually a self-limited infection, usually, that resolves in a few weeks. Here, though, we have a complication of bronchitis, again, speculating that perhaps it's led from the airways into the lungs, maybe complicated by pneumonia, for example. And that's not as common, but it is seen, and just creates a challenge in terms of recognizing what the pneumonia might be due to. Is it just due to the virus? Is it due to the virus plus a superimposed bacterial infection, which is sometimes the case? That's where the multiple organisms come into play, creating a polymicrobial infection. And we do have testing that can identify viruses and bacteria and fungi and parasites, all of those organisms you mentioned earlier. And if you can identify those organisms, hopefully there's good targeted therapy against those organisms in order to help individuals resolve these complicated polymicrobial infections.
I'm sure he's going to get the best of care. He's 88 years old. I think he's lost part of a lung due to pneumonia before, I'm reading here. And I know I had pneumonia as a kid, and my mom used to always tell me that I had to be careful because once you have it, it's easier to get. Is there any truth to that? And what about Pope Francis and having lost part of a lung and having had pneumonia before? Does that make him more susceptible to anything?
Well, you know, he's more susceptible to complications of bronchitis and pneumonia solely because of his age. We know that people who are older, their immune systems aren't as robust, and they're more likely to experience complications from these infections. This is, by report, again, at least the fourth time he's been hospitalized since he was elected Pope in 2013, and at least one of those hospitalizations was for bronchitis. Here we have again bronchitis causing a hospitalization. And then you're right to mention the fact that he underwent lung surgery, removing a piece of the lung apparently in his youth for a respiratory infection. I don't know any of the details except to say that that is documented in multiple reports. And you can live without a piece of a lung. You can live without a whole half a lung being removed. The issue is if he's had repeated infections, it can leave a damaged lung. And a damaged lung is one that is more susceptible to infection as well. So his age and perhaps repeated infections make him more susceptible to additional infections, and that's what we're seeing here. And again, I have to emphasize that it's the very young and the very old who are most likely to suffer complications from respiratory tract infections.
Thank you, Doctor. I appreciate the insight. I know you haven't seen him or treated him, but just a lot of people are concerned, so we thought we'd speak with you. Fred Lopez, Professor of Medicine, Section of Infectious Diseases at LSU Health New Orleans, Dr. Fred Lopez. We come back, we're going to talk about National Engineers Week. Right now, though, time for WWL First News. 7:45, quarter till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Rain tonight, freeze tomorrow and the following night for the North Shore, South Shore. Don't worry about it, although after having taken those little sake things off of the faucets, I'm surprised it's not going to freeze on the South Shore. Looking ahead to the parades, Friday night, it's going to be chilly but dry. And then they're talking about some rain on Friday, Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be about the timing of that, but it is going to be a little chilly. UNO helped me in my life more than I can ever thank them. Clancy Dubose once said, UNO built the middle class of the city, and I think he's right. Newell Normand is a UNO graduate. Diane Newman, a boss lady here, is a UNO graduate. So we all think the world of UNO. And Kim Jovanovich joins us now, professor of practice in electrical and computer engineering at UNO. Talk about National Engineers Week. How you doing, Kim?
I'm doing just fine, Tommy. Thank you for letting me talk for a few moments about engineers and how important we are.
Well, I think we all know that. I always tell people when they're asking about occupation for their kid or a career for their kid, I always say, we know things come and go and change, but those same numbers that they use to build a computer or a bridge, that's going to be the same thing in the future as it was then, because it's physics and it's engineers and it's all that kind of stuff, right? Engineering?
Absolutely. In fact, the reason for celebrating National Engineers Week, that, believe it or not, started in 1951, was to encourage diversity within engineering and actually ensure that there would be enough engineers in the future. So the idea was to get as many young people interested in the career field of STEM. Now, I've always kind of joked a little bit about it, but you know, if it wasn't for the E in STEM, it'd be a little hard to pronounce.
Mm-hmm.
The E kind of holds science, technology, and math together. And I explain it this way. Science gives us the laws by which the universe operates. And they express those laws and rules in a special language, and that's the language of mathematics. The engineer comes along, and the engineer reads that language, understands the science, the physics, the chemistry, whatever aspect of science is needed, and it doesn't end there. The engineer now starts dreaming, and that's a little bit of the difference between scientists and engineers. The word engineer comes from the word ingenious, and it tells us exactly what separates us. It's that creativity. It's imagineering, which is the word Disney uses for his engineers. I think that's an absolutely phenomenal word to explain what engineers do. They use their imagination to take and develop new things that weren't here yesterday. And if you look at how we evolved technically as a society, we didn't have phones in our pockets 25 years ago. Had we had something like that in our pockets, massive computers crunching things, they would have thought it came from the Roswell spacecraft. So engineers have to dream. I wonder if I can make a car to drive itself. I wonder if I could have a watch on my arm that tells me where on the surface of the planet I am. I wonder if I can launch something, hit an asteroid, take a piece of it, and bring it back home. Those are all dreams. But what makes those dreams happen are the engineers and the scientists and the mathematicians together working to make something that seems unachievable actually happen.
I find it amazing, Kim. amazing that you can pick up the phone right now, and you could do this years ago, but that you can pick up, I can pick up the phone right now and call Paris, France, and talk to them. And I think that's the most amazing thing in the world. I can get on an airplane, and I can be in Los Angeles 4 hours from now. I think that's the most amazing thing in the world. I'm still astounded when you go out at night and look at the moon and to think that we sent people there, they walked around, and they came back, and we're going to do it again. And that just amazes me. And I guess the questions I have are, moving forward, as people talk about artificial intelligence and this and that and the other thing, you can never take the human factor out of engineering, can you?
I agree. I think that, remember, AI itself is learning from what the human beings have given to it. And it, think about a student. We educate a student. That student then takes and learns on his own or goes about doing a task or goes about doing a job. But that wouldn't happen if it wasn't for the original education they got. AI, of course, is very smart. It can compute things very quickly. I don't ever think it's actually going to replace the engineer. A lot of our students think that because that way they don't have to turn in homework and they don't have to study as hard. But that's not the way it's going to work, at least not in the near term.
Let me take a break, Kim. I'll pick it up when we come back here talking about what specifically is planned at UNO, okay?
Sure. No problem.
All right. 7:51, we're talking to Kim Jovanovich, our friend, professor of practice in electrical and computer engineering at UNO. I'm an English and logic, philosophy kind of guy. I'm not a science guy, and what engineers do never cease to amaze me. 9 till 8, traffic now, WWL. Hi, 7:56 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Kim Jovanovich, professor of engineering at professor of practice in electrical and computer engineering at UNO. I'm distracted here, Kim, because our friend Meg Ferris texted in, here's something that's so cool. Charlie Duke is one of the few astronauts who walked on the moon still alive. Told me that the phones we carry now have more memory in them than his entire Apollo rocket ship had. So it is
that's
amazing
true.
What they were able to accomplish then and how much the field has grown since then.
Absolutely. So, like I said, UNO loves to celebrate National Engineers Week. It's always the week of President's Week because George Washington was considered a civil engineer. And so that Wednesday of President's Week, we always celebrate it. This year, from 9 to 12, we have 27 companies. NASA is bringing a couple of inflatable planetariums, and we have Entergy and Boeing and the World War II Museum and the Corps of Engineers and the laser interferometry people and Ingalls and Latrim and 27 outstanding companies in the area will be there demonstrating and talking to young people. We have 35 schools that have signed up to come and 1,100 students. So we ought to be having an outstanding time showing these young people what it's like to be an engineer. And truthfully, science, it's the package. You know, there's been a lot of publicity lately about what's been happening out at UNO. But the real message here, Tommy, is, look, we haven't changed our product. You know, we still produce excellent students, engineering and other career fields. We do our education well. We do our research well. All we've done is change the way in which we go about providing those services. You know, we've streamlined management a little bit. We've streamlined the administration of those duties a little bit. But we're still what we've always been. I mean, we are definitely not going anywhere. And engineering is very strong. So is many of our other colleges. So UNO is going to be around for a while, and we're certainly going to be generating great engineers in the community.
You know, when somebody texted in, and this is what I love about engineering, and I think it's a great text to wrap it up on. In this day and age, math, numbers are our friends. They cannot lie. If there is one positive, absolute truth, it is in engineering and STEM. Is it not?
I agree.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Kim. How can people find out more about what's going on at UNO?
They can contact coedean.uno to send an email to that, and we'll be happy to reply, or just check out www.uno.edu, look up the College of Engineering.
Thank you and for educating engineers and all that engineers have done to help us. Thank you, sir. Kim Jovanovich, professor of practice in electrical and computer engineering at UNO. Thanks to Meg Farris for listening and texting in. Joe LaPinto is coming up, Jefferson Parish Sheriff.